What is liberty?
Liberty is what a man loses when he gets married.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is a honeymoon salad?
Lettuce alone.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant.
As living proof to all you servicemen and women listening in over there that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wits, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Thank you, Johnny. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here we are again with that quiz program that osteopaths love because it gives people a pain in the neck. We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think rhubarb is celery with high blood pressure. First, we have the celebrate author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled Making Out Your Income Tax, or To Have and Have Not. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
Yeah, you always do.
A wonderful bird is the pelican. His nose can hold more than his bellican. He can hold in his beak enough food for a week, but I don't see how the dickens he manages to do it. You thought I was going to say how the...
Now, never mind. Let it go at that, please. Next, we have a woman who looks like a feather bed that's not been made up for 3 weeks. A woman who was shot down twice as a non-identified balloon, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, a man came around to my house today and wanted me to buy some Red Cross seals.
Well, did you buy the seals?
I did not.
No?
Where am I going to get the fish to feed them?
Please. That's terrible. All right, next we have a man who would like to have hair on his chest, but he hasn't any chest. A man who ran around his bed all night trying to catch some sleep. Here he is, Mr. George Shelton.
Well, you know, Miss Todd, I went to see a show last night. Boy, did I have a hard time getting in the theater.
Did you buy any tickets?
Sure, I bought a ticket. Went inside and had to come out and get another ticket. Mm. Went in again, had to come out and get another ticket. Done that 4 times.
Yeah. Well, what's the idea? How come? What was the matter?
Why I don't know. Every time I went inside, some guy took the ticket off me and tore it up.
I took it out. It gets worse. All right, let's get on with the questions. Now, pay attention. Here's the first question for this evening. What kind of animals do we give dog biscuits to? Is that clear?
Oh, rather, perfectly, yes. Shall we go on to the next question?
Wait a minute, please. You haven't answered this question yet.
Oh, but we have. The question was, is that clear? And I said it was.
Mr. McNaughton, how much would you charge to scare a baby?
How old is it?
How old? Cut it out. The question is, what kind of an animal do we give dog biscuits to?
Did you say dog biscuits?
I said dog biscuits.
I didn't know they made biscuits out of dogs.
I see.
Neither did I. I'll never eat another dog biscuit as long as I live.
Will you three Mexican chihuahuas cut it out?
Have you got a dog, Miss McConnell?
Oh, goodness, yes. I've got a beautiful dog. Huh? Yeah, he took the first prize at the cat show last year.
At the cat show?
Yeah, he took the cat.
Oh. He took the cat. Very cute.
You know, I had a lovely cat, but I lost it.
Yeah. Well, why don't you put an ad in the newspaper?
Wouldn't do any good. You see, the cat can't read.
The cat can't read. Have you got a dog, Mr. Shelton?
I did have, and boy, was he a smart dog.
Yeah?
Never saw such a smart dog. Uh-huh. But I had to get rid of him. I had to get rid of him. You know, that dog could tell a gentleman from a tramp a mile away.
Oh, why'd you get rid of him?
He bit me.
He bit you?
Yeah, and I paid $500. The dog was worth
$5,000. Oh, you raised it. $5,000.
Look, I'd like to know one thing. How could a dog save that much money?
That's a very good point, Mr. McNaughton.
You say he was worth $5,000?
Thank you, yes.
Well, what kind of a dog was he?
He was part bull.
What part was bull?
The part about the $5,000. Look, the question is, what kind of an animal do we give dog biscuits to? You've been talking about the animal all along.
We have not. We've been talking about dogs.
I see. Miss McConnell, why don't you go home? Your cage must be cleaned out by this time.
You know, Mr. Howard, I have a dog, and does that dog eat? He's eating us out of house and home. You know, he'll have the house broke before he is.
He'll have the house broke before...
Thank you.
I don't know what's worse, this music or Sheldon's uncle.
Please.
Yeah, I beg your pardon.
What program is this?
I beg your pardon.
Is this One Man's Family?
No, this is It Pays to Be Ignorant.
Oh, thank you very much. Hey,
what was that all about now? Who let that guy in here? Now, come on, who was he? Does anybody know?
No, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Let's get on with the question here. This seems to be like Grand Central Station. Look. Now, let's try and get this question up only by accident.
Mr. Howard, a telegram just came from Mr. Shelton.
What else is going to happen tonight? All right, give it all.
Here you are, Mr. Shelton. I signed for it.
Oh, fine.
Oh, thanks, Johnny.
All right, put it away, and let's get on with the program.
Wait a minute. I won't put it away. Maybe it's important.
Yeah.
Might be for my draft board.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell me they're drafting grandfathers now.
Read it, Mr. Shelton. What does it say?
Okay. It says Western Union. A.N. Williams, President. Class of service.
Look.
This is a full-rate telegram.
Look, wait a minute.
Or cablegram, unless its deferred character is indicated by a suitable symbol above or preceding the address.
Look, please. Look, will you cut it out? What are you reading?
I'm reading this telegram.
But you don't read that part of it.
Why don't you read it? It's printed. Printed here, ain't it?
Yeah, but that part ain't supposed to be read.
Well, what did they print it from? You're not supposed to read it. Why did they print it?
You're perfectly right, Mr. Shelton. Perfectly right. Read on.
But look, what you're reading is no message.
Why ain't it? It tells you the rules of the Western Union and who's the back of them, don't
all right, all right.
Mr. Howard, pardon me. Mr. Howard, if you're doing business with a firm, you surely want to know who you're doing business with and why and wherefore and to wit.
To wit? Oh, fine. Let's get on here, please.
Oh, why don't you let him read his telegram, you old fuddy-duddy, you?
Fuddy-duddy.
Go right ahead, Mr. Shelton. Read it. Don't
let me tell you. It says...
Look, please. You start reading down further in the middle.
Who ever heard of anyone starting to read in the middle of anything?
Yeah.
Mr. Howard, when you get a letter, do you start in the middle of it?
No. I start at the top.
That's where I started at the top. Now, where was I?
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah, here it is. It says symbol. D.L. day letter.
Oh.
N.L. night letter.
Look.
L.C. deferred cable.
Yeah,
N.L.T. cable night letter ship radio program. This is the most confusing telegram I ever got.
Read on.
Yeah, the filing time shown in the dateline on telegram and day letters is standard time at point of origin.
Yep.
Time of receipt is standard time at point of destination.
I'm so glad it isn't bad news, you know.
Why, is it good up till now?
It's marvelous up to now, you blockhead. Throw it away here.
Well, somebody was sick.
Will you read the message to me and...
Why should I read the message to you? You got a nerve wanting to hear what my telegram says.
Look, all right, read it to yourself. You don't have to read it aloud.
Why don't read it out loud? How will I know what I'm listening to? Gee whiz, you're dumb you are.
Look.
Mr. Shelton, tell me, who's the telegram from?
I told you, A.N. Williams. Class of
science. Why will you cut it out, please? That isn't her name signed at the bottom of the telegram.
Well, let me see. You got me all excited. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Well, what do you know? It's from my sweetheart, Sarah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What does it say?
Doesn't say anything. She just signed a name.
That's funny.
No, there's nothing funny about it. We're not speaking to each other.
Oh.
Haven't spoken to her for years.
Haven't spoken to her for years.
Not since I pushed her off the Staten Island ferry boat. She's in the waves.
Ah, cut it out, please.
Now,
Now it's time to get on with our contestants. So while Mr. Roberts is getting them ready, we inject a few sour notes in the program. This is done by Dr. Novick and his sheep herders. Here he is, Dr. Novick. This might be all right. Oh, there he goes.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah. To the Musicians Union, they must have influence.
Pardon me. Is this bachelor's children?
No. It pays to be ignorant.
Oh, thank you very much.
Say, what goes on here? Who is that guy?
This must be an alley or something.
It must be. Ken Robbins, will you close that side door there or something? Let's get on. Who is our first contestant this evening, Mr. Roberts?
Well, our first contestant tonight, Mr. Howard, is Mr. Ralph W. Hughes, a male nurse on the exchange ship Gripsholm.
Oh! How do you do, Mr. Hughes, and welcome to It Pays to Be Ignorant. We're very glad to have you here with us. How do you feel, sir?
Pretty good right now.
Thanks. Well, we're glad you're here. Where is your hometown, would you care to tell us?
West Hempstead, Long Island.
West Hempstead, Long Island. Well, West Hempstead.
Well, give me an Oscar and call me Bing.
I say.
I used to work in that town.
Here it comes.
Yeah, I did. I was a doctor in a shoe factory.
You were a doctor in a shoe factory?
I used to examine tongues.
I see. Okay. Good job for a heel. Pay no attention to Mr. Hughes. You have been or are on the Gripsholm, is that right?
That's right.
How long have you been on the boat?
Well, I made two trips to Sweden, England, and the last one over to France.
Oh, that is great. I suppose you would have many interesting experiences, and I sure would like to have a lot of time with you. I imagine it must be very interesting on the boat.
It sure is.
Seen a lot of pleasure and a lot of sadness, I guess.
A lot of sorrow.
Yeah, I imagine, yeah. I guess the boys are all very glad when they get inside of this country again, aren't they?
They all jumped over the ship, and they saw the bay down below.
They jumped over the ship and...
Oh, they jumped all over the ship.
All jumped. I thought they jumped off the ship and swam for it. I don't doubt I would do it if I could swim. Well, we're very glad to have you here, I'm sure.
You know, Mr. Hughes, I have a plan, you know, for after the war, you know, to put everybody to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Put all the men on one island and all the women on another island, and inside of a week, everybody will be busy.
What doing?
Building boats.
Building boats. Yeah. I see.
It's a very good idea.
Yeah, sort of an exchange ship there.
Yeah.
See what...
Say, what's your name, honey? Your first name.
Honey.
Yeah.
Mine?
Yeah, what's your first name?
It's Ralph.
Ralph?
Yeah.
That's a nice name, isn't it,
yes,
Ralph?
Yes, yes.
He's a nice guy, too, huh?
Uh-huh.
This is about the...
Yeah.
Well, you can just call me Maple Sugar.
Maple Sugar.
Yeah, I'm so sweet.
You certainly are. Yeah. And just a sappy. Pardon me, Mr. Hughes, would you reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, please? And would you be kind enough to read the question, if you will?
What kind of a license is required when two people wish to get married?
That's very good. What kind of a license is required when two people wish to get married?
What's the name of the people, Mr. Hughes?
Ah, wait a minute. That don't make any difference.
Don't you mean to tell me two people are going to get married and they don't know each other's names?
Well, that's terrible. Why don't somebody introduce them to each other?
That's right. You know, after they get married, they may want to say something to each other.
They may.
Yeah. I mean, they just can't go around hollering, "Hey, you!"
That wouldn't be very sociable. Listen, you three sponge heads, there's no one getting married.
Well, no one getting married, then what do you want to know about a license for then? If nobody's going to get married, you don't need a license.
Look, it don't make any difference who's getting married. That is not the question.
Oh, it does make a difference, Mr. Howard, who's getting married. A person just doesn't stand on the corner and marry the first person that comes along.
I did.
You did.
Where did you meet your husband, Miss McConnell?
In a pool room.
Yeah?
Yep, he walked in and there I was.
Yeah, behind
you. You were shooting pool?
No, I worked there. Used to rack up the balls. But I had to quit. I was a nervous wreck.
You were, ah, please, you were a nervous wreck.
That's nice.
The worst pun I've ever had. Let's get on here. What must I do to get an answer around here? Bleed?
Where are you going to get the blood?
Well, the question is, what kind of a license is required for two people when they get married?
You know, marriage is like betting on a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know what $2 will get you.
Yeah, I
can never understand marriage. Before marriage, a girl has to kiss a man to hold him. After marriage, she has to hold him to kiss him.
Very good, Miss McConnell. The question is not what marriage is. It's about a license.
Yeah, well, me and my old man had a runaway marriage.
You had a runaway marriage?
Yeah. But my old man didn't run fast enough.
You know, my cousin Susie married a fireman.
Oh, volunteer?
No, her father made him.
Her father.
My cousin's married. She's married to a man who just can't bear children.
Well, after all, you know, she shouldn't expect too much from a husband.
Home on this. They'll find their place in a minute, folks. What? Thank you. What is this? Please.
Excuse me, please. Is this Big Sister?
Big Sister. No, no. This is a pace to be ignorant.
Pace to be ignorant?
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Ain't that awful? Who is that guy? Mr. Roberts, I told you to close that back door.
He must think this is a vacant lot.
He must think something. Now, let's get on here. Who is our next contestant, Mr. Roberts?
Well, our next contestant, Mr. Howard, is a very lovely and charming young girl. She is Petty Officer First Class Margaret Cherry of the Wave.
Good evening. All right, you wolves. Good evening, Miss Cherry, and welcome to A Pace Bigger. How are you this evening?
Fine, thank you, Mr. Howard.
Well, that's great. Where's your hometown? Would you care to tell us?
Beechhurst, Long Island.
Beechhurst, Long Island. Well, that's fine.
Lovely, lovely girl, isn't she, Mr. Howard?
Yes, she is charming, Mr. McNaughton.
You know, her lips remind me of a fire hydrant.
Yeah, what do you mean?
No parking.
No. Very cute, Mr. McNaughton.
I thought so, yes. Yeah,
pardon the interruption, Miss Cherry. I'm sorry it happened. What are you doing on New York? In New York, rather.
Well, I'm on leave from Florida.
Oh, you're up from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't that fine? You've been stationed down there, I presume?
That's right.
What did you do before you entered the service?
I was on the stage.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Actress-like?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Stay after the program and give me your autograph. I'd like that. Please. Well, that's fine. Are you from a theatrical family?
Yes, I am.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
The name is Cherry, is that
right? That's right.
Cherry. Is your father by any chance John Cherry?
That's right.
John Cherry. He was with a lot of Gilbert and Sullivan. Am I right?
That's right.
Gilbert. What is he doing now?
Oh, he's on the radio mostly now.
Oh, fine. I haven't seen him lately. Don't forget, will you, and give him my regards.
I won't.
Yeah, John Cherry.
You know, Mr. Howell, a very, very common name, John, you know.
Well, John is a common name.
Every Tom, Dick, and Harry is named John.
I mean,
You know, honey, I just love your uniform. You look so nice in
it. Thank you.
How do you like my dress? I wear this dress of afternoon to tease.
To tease. At your age, who are you going to tease? Miss Cherry, while you're here, would you reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, if you will? And would you be kind enough to read the question?
What kind of fruit is used in making orange juice?
Very good. What kind of fruit is used in making orange juice? Would you know, Mr. Sheldon?
No, I drink prune juice.
I see. All right, then, what kind of fruit is used in making prune juice?
Well, ladies, I used to drink prune juice.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm drinking grapefruit juice.
I see. All right, let us take it this way, then. What kind of fruit is used in making grapefruit?
Look, am I the only one on this board? Am I supposed to answer all the questions? What's the matter with Mr. McConnell and Mr. McNaughton? Why pick on me all the time? It's an outrage, that's what it is. Gee whiz, I wish I was dead.
Yeah. I wish you were alive, Mr. Sheldon.
I wish I wasn't so ignorant and knew what you meant by that.
Mr. Howard, you know, I saw some lovely grapefruit at the market today. Oh, I bet they were old, that size.
Really? Did you buy any?
I did not. They were too big. You wouldn't get many of them in a dozen.
No. No more than eight or something.
No.
Miss McConnell, you certainly have your good points.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Howard.
Yeah, but they're all in your ration book. Let's get on here.
You know, Mr. Howard, I have grapefruit for breakfast every morning with boric acid.
You have grapefruit with boric acid?
I eat the grapefruit and get my eyes washed at the same time.
That's a very good idea. Can we please get back to the question, you squirts? Look, it's about a certain drink.
Did somebody say drink? No. Make mine the same.
Wait a minute. I don't mean the drink you mean.
I'm thirsty. You know, if I wanted to stick a stamp on a letter, I'd have to pin it on.
Oh. Hey, remember the good old days when people would drop in for a call? Now they call in for a drop?
How did we get into this? Look, the subject is about orange juice.
I like lemonade.
Yeah.
I like orangeade.
Yeah. But you know, there's a new drink out. I saw the sign down at Penn Station.
Yeah? What's the name of it?
Traveler's Aid.
Listen, you three overripe bananas. Are you going to answer the question?
No, Mr. Howard, I'm beginning to think my old man drinks.
Yeah, what makes you think so?
Well, he came home the other night and wanted me to help him chase a kangaroo.
Oh, fancy that.
Yeah, and the night before that, he thought he saw 3 pink elephants.
Yeah, and did he?
No, there was only 2.
There were guns.
Mr. Howard, I'm going to interrupt you a moment.
Yeah, something new has been added.
Go on, Miss McConnell.
But of course, dear. Go right on. Yes, do.
All right, Miss McConnell. Talk, but not long.
Hello, everybody. All you boys over there, I just want to tell you fellas overseas that I've been buying up all the pink ribbon in town, just waiting for those love letters I'd like to get from them. So, honey, just write me, your pen pal, Lula McConnell. It pays to be ignorant. Care of Armed Forces, Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Right soon. Goodbye, honey. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta, Miss McConnell. I second the motion.
Excuse me. Is this the Adventures of a Thin Man?
Look, my friend, I don't know who you are, but this program is It Pays to Be Ignorant.
Well, is every program on the air It Pays to Be Ignorant?
What do you want?
Well, I'm looking for an empty studio.
For what?
Well, I've got to give a leopard a banjo lesson.
A leopard? Wait a minute. Have you got a leopard that plays a banjo?
No, but I've got one spotted.
You got one? Well, folks, Mr. Pelosi tells us it's time to sign off. So we'll leave you until this time next week. So here is Terry Allen to tell you what we mean when we say...
It pays to be ignorant, to be dense, to be dumb, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me. Each week I earn $6. My brain is terribly lax. But when there ain't no income, then there ain't no income tax. So you see it.
For the record, that's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service. Thank you.